From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect.
Hey, well, welcome into ABQ Connect. Some programming things to bring you up to speed if you're a regular listener to K-Lite. You know, we haven't said K-Lite on the air in a long time. For years, we've said K-L-Y-T, and we're kind of moving back in. You'll hear some of us saying that. We cling to that heritage and legacy of, you know, things that were created 50 years ago. September 11th of 1976, this station signed on is arguably the very first full-time Christian rock station and really maintained that format for the most part into the early 20s. And of course, now the current format still proclaiming the gospel and bringing great programming to you, like this show and a lot of other shows that we air, some focusing on public policy, some on teaching the Word of God, mostly teaching the Word of God. You'll find the complete lineup at klyt.fm. Coming up in September, as I mentioned, the anniversary, 50 years. That's quite an accomplishment, we believe. And we're going to have some special programming for you in September. So we'd encourage you to be listening for more details as we draw nearer to that. Now, we don't need to wait for September to arrive to get to some programming changes. Starting Monday morning at 6:30, we welcome back onto KLYT, K-Lite, Practical Christian Living. I shouldn't say welcome back. He actually aired on another station we were operating at the time. But welcome back to this radio ministry, Practical Christian Living, with Robert Furrow, who has a history at Calvary Church Albuquerque as a youth pastor and then went on to Tucson, almost over 40 years ago, to start Calvary Tucson. And he's done a lot of ministry out there for a long time. But 6:30 Monday morning, you'll hear Practical Christian Living. Now, for those who have been listening to Truths That Transform, weekday mornings at 6:30. It will continue to air evenings at 10:30. And, you know, whether it's either of those programs, any of the programs, almost every program that we air, if you go to klyt.fm, go to schedule, and find the time of when you listen to the program you want to hear, if you miss it, click on the Get Details, and chances are you'll find that day's program right there to play anytime. It's pretty much on demand. So we've made that available to you. But Monday, make sure you're tuned in, 6:30, and welcome Practical Christian Living back on to KLYT. And then reach out to the ministry. Let them know you're listening and how much you appreciate hearing from Robert Furrow, who, if you didn't put it together, yesterday we had him on the show talking about a new book he's written about the difficult passages in Revelation and a book to help walk you through some of those. So you'll find that interview archived at abqconnect.online. Woo! Okay, one more quick announcement. Our neighbors at the Zuni Pueblo are in need of assistance, and Salvation Army is doing great work to reach out to them after flooding on July 22nd. And if you want to be a part of that or find out more, go to SalvationArmySouthwest.org. SalvationArmySouthwest.org. We welcome into studio Carla Sontag with the New Mexico Business Coalition. Where were you Friday when all the rain was coming down? Were you in the area, or were you out of state? Or
yeah, I was here, but we didn't get a lot where my office is,
yeah,
where I live.
Yeah.
We got a good flood last night, though. It was great.
My wife and I were outdoor at a concert, and, you know, here it comes. We survived. but it was a big one. Isn't it hard to complain, right?
Oh, I love the rain.
Well, we need it so much. We do. And thank you, Lord, for the rain you send and all that you do for us. I don't want to come off complaining about the rain. It was quite nice. And I know, though, people are suffering after some heavy rains in areas, and we want to make sure the listeners know they can reach out through the Salvation Army with those relief efforts to Zuni Pueblo at SalvationArmySouthwest.org. So You and I, just moments ago, we were talking about the importance of the body of Christ, the church, to engage in the public square in their efforts to vote. And listen, I'm registered, and I vote, and I would encourage you to prayerfully consider doing the same. And if you did register to vote, please, the first Tuesday in November here in New Mexico, get out and vote. If you haven't already, a lot of people will be doing early voting. Lots for you and I to talk about, including things pertaining to the vote, some of which we talked about on this station last week with the news out of New Jersey. We'll get to that later. I'm just going to tease it. But AVR and I was letting the person know that was sharing a story from the Daily Signal, that someone from the Heritage Foundation, know that, yeah, we're one of those states. So if you don't know what we're talking about, we'll get into detail about that here in a little bit. Really making headlines, though, in primaries all over the country is this new program. Now, we've said things on this show with guests like you, Carla. And again, I'll reiterate, Carla Sontag with the New Mexico Business Coalition, nmbizcoalition.org, or better, togethernewmexico.org. The progressive movement, and, you know, we're basically in a two-party system, but there's still libertarians, and I think there's still Green Party, but for the most part, a two-party system, Republicans and Democrats. And the Democrat Party, we're seeing that rise in progressive movement, which really, even hearing some say in and out of the party, it's actually kind of another party. It's a whole nother thing. And you put together a chart for us to walk through, Carla, talking about, and I'll let you more define the party if you'd like and their agendas and or the movement, I should say, because they're in the Democrat Party. The resources are getting and kind of following where those resources are going to.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is a movement. It's not a separate party. They have infiltrated and really taken over the Democrat Party. What's interesting is it was a progressive movement. Progressive, in the terms that they use it, were moving to socialism. Well, apparently that wasn't enough for some. So now we have the Democratic Socialists of America, the DSA. And that's what everybody's hearing about throughout the United States. This is an activist and political movement within the Democrat Party, and it's pushing a lot harder than the progressive movement. And, you know, I feel bad for the average Joe or Jane that is a Democrat, because that's not their party anymore. And it's a sad thing, but we're seeing this, and it's something that people need to be aware of, because it's taking control of our state in New Mexico.
Yeah. And we've said for years, we've said that, you know, it's almost like there was a gradual change. When things were happening on various things in the roundhouse here in New Mexico and elsewhere, really, you know, the Democrat Party, both parties have changed, but the Democrat Party for a time, you know, we're saying, well, this isn't the Kennedy Democrat Party.
Right.
And it was left of that when we were saying that, and it's moved really more left than that.
It's very far left. I've written 5 articles now on Emerge, which is the training ground for the progressive movement. It is for women and non-binary individuals. They recruit and train and get them elected. They've been very successful in New Mexico. This is a nationwide group, but their chapter here has trained over 400 women. They have 118 currently in office in New Mexico. That's 20 in the state house and I think 5 or 6 in the Senate.
And then city councils and county positions. And
I mean, every level of government, you find these graduates. In fact, the candidate for governor on the Democratic ticket is Deb Haaland, and she graduated in 2007. But it gives you a framework, and it doesn't mean that every Emerge graduate is the same or votes the same, but pretty much they are following an agenda, because if they don't, they'll be taken out. So, and we just saw that in the primary election. They had an Emerge graduate that sometimes voted with others and didn't follow the agenda, so they took her out, Mary. And she's no longer serving. And so if
do we see the reciprocal thing happening at all in the Republican Party?
Yes, there are in the Republican Party. There's some that say, well, they're not Republican enough, and that they will challenge them and take them out.
Yeah,
not to the same extent. They're in the Republican Party. They don't have the bench. They don't have the recruitment mechanisms. They don't have people waiting in line to serve in office.
Yeah,
and there's some seats that'll go unchallenged this time because the Republicans couldn't find a challenger.
Okay.
So they're not often challenging each other because they can't even challenge the Democrats. And the Democrats stay pretty much fully staffed in all their positions they're looking to fill. But I would encourage people to go to bettertogethernewmexico.org, all spelled out. And at the top of our news section are all of these articles so that you can find out how it works. It's really like a machine. It works very, very well. And in future writings, I'm going to get more into following the money because I think it's important. We've got in New Mexico, there are other what we call NGOs, non-government organizations, that are bringing in millions of dollars. Progress Now is one of them, $4.7 million just from the Arabella Group. And that's a lot of money. And that helps them donate to candidates that they want that will push their agenda, Progress being in their name, the progressive movement. And it also helps not just fund their initiatives, but fund the candidates to carry their initiatives. And so we've all got to be aware of that and watching out for it because it's going to make a difference in the state. It already has.
All right. Well, and yeah, as you mentioned, many other organizations getting the money. You know, you mentioned Progressive Now, Emerge, and the others listed on the graph you brought to us, CVNM. Are these all mentioned in the article as well?
This is an upcoming issue that we'll be talking about. Okay. CVN is Conservation Voters of New Mexico.
Okay.
And they, they're very effective. Law and poverty, they're always suing for bigger government, government takeover and government provision instead of the old, what the Christian or believer talks about, teaching a man to fish or a woman to fish or to do whatever they need to do and feed their families.
Right. So, be watching for that at bettertogethernewmexico.org. And basically, these organizations are getting money and not listed here, you know, and it kind of seems to work the same. Some of these organizations are getting a lot of money, as is public education in New Mexico. And the money isn't making a difference.
No.
The action, the things being done, really, I would assume that New Mexicans really need to consider if more money towards these efforts isn't working, then what do we need to change?
Right. And a lot of it comes down to the policies that are being pursued. Are we pursuing the policies that will actually educate our children? Or are we pursuing things that bring money into the educational unions, for example, where the money's not getting to the classroom, it's not getting to the teachers, and it's certainly not getting to the children? There's still teachers buying stuff for their classroom because they don't have enough money, and yet we have increased 10 times the amount of money going into education, and we're still 50th in the nation, 51st if you include Washington, D.C.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, if you just joined us, we're visiting with Carla Sontag for the full hour today from BetterTogetherNewMexico.org. You can also find information about the work that Carla and her team does for the New Mexico Business Coalition. That's NMBIZ Coalition.org. And we're going to take a quick break and come back and talk about more of these issues that matter to you. That's right after this BQ Connect. Hey, for a lot of the summer in the Action Center at KLYT.FM, we had the VBS and Camps Guide for Parents. Here's another summer activity to wrap up the summer. It's starting August 1st, the Calvary Sports League. The fall season is here for 2026, starts August 1st, runs through October 10th. There's going to be a parents meeting on July 3rd, tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. And you can find details on the Calvary website, or if you're not sure, call Calvary at 344-0880. It's focused on athletics, faith, and sportsmanship. There'll be basketball for grades K through 8, flag football, run club, adult run club is also available, weekly family run for children younger than 5th grade and their families. They'll have Thursday practices in the evening and Saturday practices between 9 a.m. and 12:30. The run club meets Saturdays at 9. We encourage you to go check it out and find out more about the meeting. Call Calvary tonight, today at 344-0880. Get details about that meeting tomorrow night for the Calvary Sports League. Listen, that announcement is not for people who exclusively attend, or it's not exclusively for people who attend Calvary Church. That is a community-wide announcement. So if you're looking for a fall league for the kids to participate in, this may be the one. Go check that out. And a quick reminder, in the Action Center that I mentioned, through the end of the month, July 4th, we are celebrating 250 years of this great American experiment, the semi-quincentennial, and focus on the family celebrating by providing 16 episodes of Adventures in Odyssey at no cost, all of them dealing with different parts of American history. They've also provided from Focus on the Family Radio Theater, The Legend of Squanto. That link is in the Action Center still through the month of July at klyt.fm. In studio with us, Carla Sontag with the New Mexico Business Coalition, and lots to talk about, Carla. One of the things that you wanted to kind of bring our attention to, you know, we've heard about issues. I think most of us, all of us have heard, you know, it's kind of on our radar, CYFD, what's happening in the state. And then recently an article, a story came out about a 15-year-old being dropped at the border. And I don't want to say much more about that because I think I know, but I think you're more acquainted with the story. Not just that story, but CYFD in general. What kind of update do you have?
Well, you know what? It just kind of leaves me speechless here. We've got a situation in New Mexico where we know historically CYFD, Children, Youth, and Families Division, is not taking good care of our children. Now, how this happened, I won't get into that, but we do know that children have died in their care and under their supervision. So it's a scary thing. But with this new thing that has happened, the state attorney general is suing that agency. So it's kind of like a circular firing range.
The state attorney general is suing the state-run CYFD.
Because the state is failing in taking care of our children. It's just phenomenal to me. And I think that one of the things, and again, the state AG is an elected position, not up this time, but the appointment for CYFD comes from the governor. So I think that's why believers and others need to take voting seriously.
Yeah.
Because it can make a huge difference in the lives of our children and every New Mexican.
You know, and I would ask the audience, the listener, to prayerfully consider your part in caring for our state's children. Let me draw your attention to one of the pastors on staff at Calvary Church Albuquerque. Clay Schroff is working with others to train up the body of Christ to be prepared for foster care, adoption, and respite care. There's training involved with that. They can walk you through it, though. If you're interested in finding out more about that, I'm going to give the Calvary number again and ask for, you can ask for Pastor Clay Schroff and ask about that, the training that, that can be provided or more information about you providing respite care for foster care parents. Anyway, that you can be of assistance, just call 505-344-0880. But yeah, it isn't, you know, this is another, are you registered? And if you are, first Tuesday in November, please do plan to vote. Now, is there something specific on the ballot or is it more, just the people that are on the ballot that can have an impact on this?
Well, I think the governor's race is going to have the biggest impact on our children and on many things that we believe in and what we want to see our state do. I think what's really important, we're going to have a lot of candidate assets on our websites where you can go there and get information. We'll give you links directly to their site. We'll give you information that we have put together, all of it documented where we got it. But it's an easy reference. If you don't know the candidates well, get to know them so that you, when you pray, you can pray specifically and you can know what you need to do when you go vote.
Yeah,
and then go vote.
As we draw closer to the election, I haven't been there to dig in and see if there's something there now, but I usually encourage our listeners to go to bettertogethernewmexico.org and nmbizcoalition.org. You just spend to try to find out more voter guides planned
and they're underway, and we're also going to do on every contested race a side-by-side comparison of the candidates. So we'll list a few issues. Business Coalition will put out a business rating of A through F based on their votes or their positions. Better Together will cover business plus a lot more, so there'll be a lot of issues covered there, and it's going to be very helpful to people in their voting.
Okay. So watch for that. And typically, we try to go get those and put them in the Action Center at klyt.fm. So be watching for all those areas to be educated before we go to the polls. And please do plan on going to the polls.
Yeah.
Early voting is probably, I'm assuming, is going to be a thing. And we'll talk more about voter roll integrity as we press on with the show. But yeah, as far as the concern for what's happening with CYFD and the state suing the state.
And that's why we need to get involved, because this CYFD issue has been going on for decades. It needs resolution. Positive solution where we're taking care of these kids.
Yeah, let me throw this out. Okay, now there's some people listening who may end up having their kids the care of CFD, but you know, I would encourage you to imagine: would you be prepared to have your children? You know, maybe you're far from needing any assistance that way, but that's who I'm talking to. Imagine your children or grandchildren being in care of what is currently CYFD in New Mexico. Would you be okay with that? And if you would, well, okay. And if you wouldn't, we strongly encourage you to be a part of helping change happen for the kids here in New Mexico. You know,
that happens with the governor's appointments, but also the state legislature is developing policy, and so all of your state reps are up for election this time. Some are not good, but know the difference. You need to know state rep is going to better represent you and the kids in our state.
Yes, we're visiting with Contag. She's with bettertonewmexico.org and Business Coalition, bizbiznmblition.org. Quick, come back, talk more about voter roll integrity. And take a little bit of look at what happened in New Jersey recently, and when you hold up New Mexico to that, you know, when you really compare, what, you know, what do you see? Well, we're going to do that when we come back from the break on ABQ Connect. Hey, thanks for joining us. A reminder that coming up this Friday night at Hope Summer Worship Concert Series, you'll be out there to enjoy the music of Stephen and Lauren Haynes. I believe there's one more week after that. I'll double check it, but I think the week after that, Tamara and friends will be back out. She kicked it off a few weeks ago at Hope Christian School. Friday nights at 6 o'clock, the food trucks are underway there, and at 7 o'clock, the concert starts in their new outdoor amphitheater. It's a free family-friendly summer worship concert series, and they have all kinds of activity out there as well. But go on out and enjoy time with others in the community. It's at Hope Christian School Friday night. The activity starts at 6, concert at 7. HopeChristianSchool.org for details on that. They are celebrating 50 years as well, and that's part of their 50-year celebration. So happy birthday to Hope Christian School, celebrating 50 years, as is K-Lite, K-L-Y-T, this station. Anyway, go find out more. HopeChristianSchool.org. Full hour today on ABQ Connect with Carla Sontag with the Christian, the New Mexico Business Coalition. .org, nmbizcoalition.org, and bettertogethernewmexico.org. I encourage you to go to the websites and see the resources available there, and including some of the events they'll have up coming up later in the year. If we have time, we'll talk about that here. We do want to talk about, Carla, what happened in New Jersey, and you know, the governor has agreed that 6,000 voters were found to be registered to vote who were not citizens. And 400, I believe, at least 400 of them voted in that election. Now, apparently, it's said that isn't enough to impact the outcome of the election. But more importantly, integrity has been affected. Last week on this show, talking with Emma Waters from the Heritage Foundation, we were talking about a story at the Daily Signal that talked about this in New Jersey. And I let her know that New Mexico is an AR, is it ARV?
AVR.
AVR. AVR. State automatically automatic voter registration. You and I have talked about it on this show. If you go get a driver's license or a state ID,
or if you do business with the government for SNAP benefits, Medicaid benefits, anything like that, you're going to be automatically registered to vote.
Okay, whether or not you're a citizen. Now, are you automatically? Here's a question: are you automatically registered, or is the registration information sent to you to register?
No, they. There's a screen that's supposed to flash up and say, if you're not eligible, you should exit now. But sometimes when people come to this country, they don't speak English and they don't read English. And so they may not understand what that screen is about.
Okay. They think they're registering for SNAP or for some other federal program. And in the meantime, they're registering to vote.
Yes. And so then there's another step that the state is supposed to take and send them a postcard and say, if you are registered to vote and you're not a citizen and you should not have registered to vote, then you need to take steps to unregister.
Huh.
Well, yeah, that's not happening.
Yeah.
There are not people doing that. So when people look at New Jersey, they think, well, you know, that's New Jersey. But the problem is it identifies problems that could be occurring here.
Yeah.
And we need to look at the safeguards. Now,
well, the words that blow up in my face that I see on these, you know, it's here and right here, what we have to look at, accidentally added or glitch or error.
Well, we just don't have any kind of safe, well, I shouldn't say any, we don't have adequate safeguards in this state. If you are dependent on sending a postcard to someone after they're registered and putting the onus on them if they should not have been to
yeah.
unregister when they may not have asked to be registered in the first place, you've got a problem. So, and the other thing, when they say it wouldn't impact the election, I don't agree with that. It may not have impacted the presidential election.
Yeah.
But those people, those 400 voting, darn sure could have impacted yeah. some local races.
Yeah. And it could happen here since, you know, we have the same setup, really.
Yes.
That you're, you know, automatically registered to vote if you aren't. And by the way, if you vote and you are not a citizen, it's a crime.
Yes.
So it's important that all of us are aware of what's happening with that, whether you're a citizen, well, especially if you're not a citizen, that you know that you may end up getting registered. Now, I don't know that might happen to someone registered who's not a citizen, but certainly if you go vote after being registered, yeah, that's a big, big no-no.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, we have a case where a woman registered and voted. She said she was under pressure to do that. This was before the automatic system. She registered and voted and was appointed at one point to serve as a state leader by the Bernalillo County Commission. I about lost my mind over that. When I talked to the commissioners, they said, well, but you ought to see the other choices that we had. I said, I don't care. If somebody's voting legally in our elections, they should not be now in charge of making election law.
Did you say they became part of the legislature?
Yes, she was appointed to serve.
Okay. I'm sure that that's, I mean, voting isn't okay, and neither is, I'm sure, I'm not sure, I haven't read it, I'm asked, our constitutionally doesn't allow for non-citizens to in the state legislature.
And I think she became a citizen, or she voted, or at least was legally.
Okay. So that's another story and a timeline to look at. But yeah, it's clearly a problem and clearly an issue. And you know, you and I were talking earlier about being registered to vote for those of us who are citizens, and actually going to vote in the on the first Tuesday in November, or of course early voting if that's a thing. But you and I were talking off the air about, you know, it's really simple. If the body of Christ, if the church, Big C Church in New Mexico, got out and voted, you know, obviously 100%, but even at what percentage of people, because I think, what, half are registered to vote and half of those who are registered actually get out and vote,
right,
typically?
Yeah.
How much higher would it need to be? We'd be like, it's not even a question. We would see great change in our legislature and our civic leaders.
Absolutely. And this is a message for believers. When Jesus walked the earth and he appointed kings and he told us to govern ourselves until he came back to govern, he's not back. It's on us. If you're not directly involved and serving as an elected official, then you need to be voting for them. It would take a very small percentage of believers to get registered to vote and to make a difference in the state. Can you just imagine what it would be like if we elect people who truly believe like we believe and who want the best for our citizens and are not pushing for socialism and other things that are government growth programs? We could change the state. We could change the country.
Right. And let me say, in addition to this, and we've said it on this program before, Christians, it's our place to be active, not only in the public square where we are voting, and I hope we are registered and we do go vote, but to be involved in ministries that are reaching the orphans and the widows and the homeless and those in need. It was the church who was primarily responsible for that, right? In the early church, it wasn't that it's changed. It's the action has changed, but we're still responsible. And those are areas where we've kind of dropped the ball and given it to the government. And look at what we have. It's doesn't seem to be working. I don't think how we want it to. Even if the voting thing didn't happen, which I hope it does, we need to be actively making a change in our community, sharing the love of Christ through sharing the gospel, raising our families in the knowledge of Christ, and displaying our love to the community through our actions. So as much as I harp on please be registered and please vote, and I will continue, more so I want to harp on our action as believers in our community to make a difference right where we are. And by doing that, we'll see hearts changed. And through that, Jesus is the route to change. So,
and that goes hand in hand with when you engage in the community and you're helping people, then you see the need to change some of the leadership that's going on in the state. And when we're talking about these issues with the automatic voter registration, remember that our Secretary of State is on the ballot this time, and this will make a huge difference in our elections moving forward, in what kind of controls we have in New Mexico, or if we do not. And there is very stark differences between the two candidates, and I think people need to look at those differences, pray about it, and select the one that they think is best going to represent their interests, and make sure that we tighten up our voting system so we can, when we do go vote, rest assured our vote is properly counted.
Yeah, and with you mentioned the Secretary of State race. Recently, Secretary of State's office, you gave us this information, Carla, that they've consistently resisted federal requests to inspect unredacted state voter rolls for independent auditing and cross data verification. So it's a thing, and it's a reason you should be engaged and maybe kind of heed some of what you're hearing on today's broadcast. If you just joined us, we're visiting with Carla Sontag with the New Mexico Business Coalition. That website is nmbizcoalition.org and bettertogethernewmexico.org. We're going to take a quick break, come back, talk some about the New Mexico Oil Conservation Commission when we get back right after this on ABQ Connect. Full hour today with Carla Sontag with the New Mexico Business Coalition, nmbizcoalition.org. And we're going to briefly touch on the New Mexico Oil Conservation Commission. Before we do that, I mentioned it earlier in the show, the events that happen with the New Mexico Business Coalition, and the Heroes event is one that happens every year, and it's already got a place on the website at nmbizcoalition.org. Under events, you can find out more about the Heroes Banquet and opportunities to sponsor, get banquet information, tickets, everything. But tell us a little more before we wrap up things with a couple of other topics.
Well, it's going to be an event not to miss. Our keynote speaker is Lieutenant Colonel Alan West. It'll be on September the 18th. He is such a phenomenal speaker. He's a believer. He's a retired military, served in Congress, just a wonderful man. He will be the keynote, and then we'll be honoring the lives and the families of two fallen first responders, two officers who died in the line of duty in New Mexico. The proceeds from this event go to their children for scholarships. We've got a growing list of kids on that list, unfortunately. And then we'll honor a Veteran of the Year and many others, and it's going to be a really nice, touching event. People just love it, and I hope you'll be there with us.
Okay, and if you're finding anything or not finding something on the website, I would encourage you to try back again on the website. But go to nmbizcoalition.org. Under events, you'll see the 2026 Heroes Banquet. And if you need more information, reach out directly to New Mexico Business Coalition. I mentioned, Carla, that we talk about the New Mexico Oil Conservation Commission, so I want to stick to that. Take a minute or whatever to cover that, because we want to spend a little more time talking about where did New Mexico's $844 million go?
Yes. So Oil Conservation Commission just finalized some rules. They are increasing financial assurance requirements on wells from $10,000 to $150,000. This is going to put some of our small producers out of business. Very, very sad situation. That is the lifeblood of New Mexico, and it's just not necessary. It was a 1,400% increase, and we're very saddened by the fact that they went through with those rules. So more on that as it develops, but right now it's in effect, and I don't know that we've got any grounds to do anything about it.
Okay, so a little short of $1 billion was spent towards the New Mexico Behavioral Health. How's that going?
Not real well.
No?
Even our LFC says that investment is not yet matching the outcome.
Now, the Legislative Finance Committee that you mentioned, non-elected, correct?
No, but they are amazingly independent.
Yeah.
And a strong voice. They analyze the budget. They look at the reality of what are we spending money on and what are we getting for that? And they come out with an honest analysis for everyone, which is very helpful to all of us. And so they are one state agency that I do follow closely.
Not surprising, you know, we were mentioning earlier in the show, education specifically, you know, one of those areas where they keep, you know, the public education keeps getting more and more money, but the action doesn't seem to change enough that we're seeing the ship turn at all to be the lowest rated, you know, public education in the country.
That's right.
And other parts of our government seeing similar numbers. So with this $844 million spent.
And that was a one-time injection of cash to try to help with the behavioral health in New Mexico, because that does have a direct correlation to a lot of the people living on the streets. They've got some issues, and this was to try to help with that. It didn't help. And that is all in addition to the Medicaid and other behavioral health billions of dollars that are already flowing into that system. This $844 million was more of an injection to try to do more, and nothing came out of it. So more money, worse outcomes. We're not doing well. Overdose rates are up in New Mexico. And we have a very serious accountability problem because we're spending this money and nobody's being held accountable for it.
Okay, so this is for mental health. Does this go towards people dealing with addiction? Was it supposed to?
That should be under that.
Yeah, and you note here that New Mexico has lost more than 1,000 behavioral health providers in some Medicaid categories in recent years, even though there's hundreds of millions of dollars intended to expand access and strengthen that workforce. So is any part of the issue tied to not having the medical staff in the state that, you know, we've lost some people that way? I don't know if that's related.
Well, this is just on the behavioral health venue. But the question is, if we've poured all this money into them hiring and having more assistance, where did the money go? If they're leaving the state, the money keeps pouring into that from state coffers, which are taxpayer dollars.
Are there books? Can't they just open books and go, well, here's where it went?
And that's what LFC and others are supposed to do. But LFC does an analysis. They're not really the ones that goes more into the state auditor position to audit where that money is going. So state auditor.
Is that on the ballot?
That is an elected position.
Is it on the ballot this upcoming?
I believe it is.
Okay. Another reason to be registered.
Yeah. The reason that we keep harping on this, when you look at the magnitude of the issues in New Mexico, they can all be fixed if we have proper oversight, proper accountability.
Well, if you just tuned in, but you're just getting to where we're wrapping up our conversation with Carla Sontag with the New Mexico Business Coalition. For those not familiar with the New Mexico Business Coalition, Carla, or maybe they've been listening and say, you know, I want to find out more and maybe pitch in and lend a hand. Do you need help?
We always need help. Absolutely.
And, you know, listen, there's different ways to help. Obviously, we're talking to the body of Christ, listening to Christian radio. Pray, please, for this organization. You can prayerfully consider your financial contributions to the website, nmbizcoalition.org, or bettertogethernewmexico.org, and connect with them. Say, hey, I have time. I am not doing the 9-to-5, and I'm ready to be for rehirement. And Carlo will put you to work.
Yeah, absolutely. We'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us through our website.
All right. Thanks for listening to ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.